Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It's amazing to think that a local church could become somewhat of a household name around the world for the songs that they write. If you've listened to a bit of Christian music, then you'd know of some churches that have done just that, but without ever really planning to. Churches like Vineyard, Hillsong, Soul Survivor, Holy Trinity Brompton. Well, Bethel Church is another name that you can add to that list. It's a church in Redding, California, that's produced the Jesus Culture youth albums that have taken off across the world. Brian and Jen Johnson, the worship pastors at that church, are touring Australia this coming week with their latest album, Be Lifted High. And Brian and Jen, join us now on Open House. Brian first, welcome.
Oh, thanks. Great to be here.
Brian, I mentioned those other churches that have never really planned this great musical ministry that's emerged from them. Did that play out like that for you in Bethel?
Yeah, we didn't plan on, you know, we didn't have a goal of, like, doing this to, you know, for an outcome. I mean, it kind of started organic. I think we moved here, the family, like 15 years ago. Jen and I have been the worship pastor at the church for about 12 years, and we just kept our head down and, you know, we raised up teams and just started writing songs, and one thing led to the next. You know, a lot of people are like, ask us, what did you do? And, I mean, honestly, just raising people up, staying true with, like, what we feel like God's calling us to do and what we feel like's anointed for worship, you know, finding people that we really feel like have a call of God in their lives for worship, not just trying to fill a slot on the stage, building a community here at the church of worshipers to pull from people that really burn for this thing.
For people not so familiar with the worship genre, how would you describe that style of music and especially that call that you say you've had from God to do this?
Well, you know, talking about the style of music, I mean, there's certain styles I think that have seemed to be more common across the world for worship. You know, just picking the, you can feel the sound, you know, when you hear a song or hear a style, you can feel if it pulls on your heart for worship, if it pulls you to God. And so we don't think about style as much as, like, does the song work for worship? You know, did it start in worship? Does it pull on your heartstrings for God? And, you know, like I said, like, it's so organic. Like, we didn't take classes. We didn't, like, go to church building seminars. We didn't do any of that stuff. I mean, I don't know how it happened, to be honest with you.
Yes. I thought we should play one track from the new album as an example of that. It's called Be Lifted High, and just speak with you after we hear it just about what it says. Here's Be Lifted High from Bethel Church. That's Be Lifted High from Bethel Worship Music. It's pretty evident what it says, Brian.
Yeah, real passion for just the whole world, lifting him up, the call going out to every nation, every tribe and tongue, worshiping our God, and that's the passion behind that song.
You both clearly have a substantial background in music before this Bethel phenomenon. Tell us a bit about that with you and Jen.
I started playing guitar when I was in high school. Just, I honestly did not start playing guitar to be a worship leader. I started playing guitar to my youth pastor played guitar and led worship, and we used to live in the mountains, and so we'd do these campouts, and I wanted to play guitar so I could play the song Lord I Lift Your Name on High around the campfire, like as a second guitar player type thing. And when I started playing, I got a passion for it, you know.
Yeah.
One thing led to the next. I started playing in youth group, and then I started co-leading and then leading, and then really had a heart for it. You know, as soon as I started leading worship, someone came up to me and said, gave me a word about, you know, leading worship as something that I would do for my life. And I just took it and started sewing into it and practicing, getting a lot of feedback from people. And so that's kind of where we are today because of that.
Jen, what about your musical background? Where did that start? How did that start?
I started playing the piano when I was about 5, and I grew up in church. My mom played the piano for church, and I remember singing my first solo when I was about the same age, about 5, the Arky Arky. And I think it was a Women's Aglow meeting. Just kind of was raised in that, and from probably about 10, 11, I led for children's church and then junior high and high school and college, so I just kind of grew there. But one of my musical teachers in junior high really just encouraged me in the area of worship, and we really soaked to a lot of worship CDs and Rita Springer and, you know, Darlene and a lot of just these really powerful women. I just kind of got addicted to it. But that's kind of musically where I came. And then really for my passion, my fire for the Lord was really, I would say, fueled around when I was 15, 16. I just really went after the Lord and pursued hearing his voice and just built my relationship with God. So partnering my musical and my spiritual has been my, and still is, my journey. So.
Yes, there's got to be that foundation. Can I take you back again to your childhood and ask you about one particular encounter when you became convinced that God was real? Tell us about that.
When I was about 10 years old, I was playing basketball outside, and it was kind of, I don't know, after dinner probably, and I was out by myself, and I was shooting hoops and just kind of talking to God. And I just said, God, I looked up at the streetlight and it wasn't on, you know, and I just said, God, if you're real, make that streetlight blink 3 times. And that streetlight blinked 3 times, just that one, not any other ones, just that one. And I just remember letting the ball drop out of my hand, and I ran into the house and told my mom, Mom, this is what happened. And she just kind of said, God's real, and just kind of walked me through this whole thing of, obviously I had known that, but this whole aspect of he wants to have a relationship with you, and he's in the little details of your life. And that kind of, at 10, really was a fire starter for me in the area of pursuing him as a friend and pursuing him as a relationship.
Were you shocked at that experience, and was your mother shocked to hear it?
You know, I grew up in a culture and in a church where they were always looking for the more of God. It wasn't weird at all by any means, but very open to the Holy Spirit. Even as a young child in our chapels for the Christian school that I went to, we experienced a lot of Holy Spirit breakouts and kids, you know, crying and laughing at the altar. And the school and the church really just stewarded that really well and didn't take control of it, but just kind of let God move and do what he wanted to, and not send us back to class, but really just let God do what he wanted to, and let us stay at the altar and soak in his presence versus having an agenda of getting back to school so quick. So I think just that culture of honoring the fact that we didn't know everything and that God had a lot that he wanted to do in us, I think that was kind of, that's awesome. It was celebrated. I think that just being raised in that has definitely given me the feet and the understanding that I have now.
Jen, how would you say those experiences shaped the distinctive character of the music that has emerged from Bethel?
I think at an early age, and I'm still learning today, how much of his goodness and how that is who he is, the core of the fact that God was a loving dad who was so good and just had so many wonderful things that he had in his heart for us, just learning that and growing up even in that, even as I've became older and gotten married and had my own children, I just see this side of God where if I as a natural parent have so many good things that I want for my kids and this amazing heart for them, and yes, I do have to discipline them, but it's the purpose is to make them have, you know, good standing character and et cetera. But viewing my relationship with God as I view my relationship with my children and him being an even greater, more amazing parent to me, I think that the things that I've learned as a child and continue to learn as an adult about the very nature of God, taking those things and being able to worship from a standpoint of knowing who he is and who you are in him changes everything, because no longer are you this beggar or this servant, but you're an heir to the throne and you're a child of God, which I think changes the view of worship entirely.
On Open House, we're with Jen and Brian Johnson from Bethel Music, beginning a tour of Australia this week. We'll have the details in just a moment. Jen, what do you say it is about music that has the power that it does to communicate message, worship, beyond anything else, almost?
You know, I think that even without lyrics, that just music in itself is so moving and can be, you know, you can play a minor chord or a major chord. You can play something and completely direct or redirect an atmosphere in a room. And I think that God gave music to us for that very purpose, that even beyond words that we'd be saying, that the music itself is prophetic in nature, that it's a statement in itself, and that the words are partnered with that, create an entire, you know, the bigger picture. But just music stripped down is a message in itself if you can hear it. So I think that, you know, that's a huge part. It says in the Bible that David played skillfully, and playing skillfully, I believe, is playing in spirit and partnering with the Holy Spirit to what you should be playing or what songs to do, etc., is playing skillfully in spirit to know how to get the Lord's heart across for each worship set.
I'm interested in the fact that your passion for music and singing extends out onto the streets and your interaction with people in the community. It's not just about music for you, is it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a phrase around here that worship is a lifestyle. And if I'm home taking care of my kids, or if I'm leading worship on a stage in front of thousands of people, that it makes no difference. It's the same to Him. It's all worship to Him. My attitude every day, you know, how I control my tongue, or, you know, different things like that, it's all worship to Him. The way that I love my husband, the way that I'm a good friend, that, you know, He looks at that. All of that is worship. You know, me viewing my kids and me viewing them as telling me how much they love me, or how wonderful of a mom I am, versus them being kind to each other as siblings. You know, what blesses my heart more, honestly, them being kind and caring towards each other? You know what I mean? So I think that from God's perspective, I know that, you know, worship, knowing God's heart, gives you that perspective of it.
Brian, can I ask you about your role as worship pastor in a very large church? You're a dad, you're a traveling musician. What a juggling act that must be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my role, I'm over all the music, worship, label, all the stuff here at the church, and basically, like, raising up a team around me that can do a lot of the hands-on stuff so that I can oversee and have my hands in each department is the key. Because we have small children, and we do travel some once every month, and it can get intense at times, and you know, from the outside looking in, sometimes it can look like, oh, that's a great life, and it really is. We're blessed and lucky, but it is a juggling act, and you talk to Jen about it, it can get hard at times, for sure.
When it gets hard like that, what's your solution to those difficult times? How do you stay together? How do you stay in touch? How do you just manage the stress of it all, no doubt?
I mean, honestly, like, especially lately, like, the other day I was sitting there and I was just overwhelmed because there were some schedule conflicts, and we're like, hey, we got small children and we truly want to parent our kids right, you know?
Yes.
And I honestly, I was praying about it, and I got a verse in the Bible, and it basically cleared some things up for me. And basically, like, you know, if I just give it to the Lord, you know, like, we let God fight our battles for us sometimes. When we try to do it on our own, it creates messes, but we just give it to God and say, God, you're going to have to take care of this one for me. And since we've done that, we've really seen a lot of peace in our lives, you know. And we just ask Him what we should do. God, make it clear to us, what are we supposed to be doing right now? How much are we supposed to travel? How many CDs are we supposed to be doing? Because, you know, like, when there's a lot of opportunity, you want to take advantage of those opportunities because you want to steward what God's doing. But at the same time, it can get too much. So, honestly, we've just relied on God lately, and it's really worked out. It sounds simple, but it really is what we've been doing lately, and it's really been it's transformed our whole life, really.
So it's a great thing, then, that you're prepared to jump on an aircraft and travel so far as Australia. You've done so much traveling with your music team. What do you see in your travels outside of the United States that, in a way, may surprise you or inspire you or teach you? What do you learn on the road?
There's a lot of things we can learn on all different levels. I think one of the main things is we do really feel like there's a hunger for God, you know. I think people at their core, no matter what they're going through in life, are hungry for God. Even some people that don't think they are. Everyone wants to be in contact with God. And I'm learning how to, you know, leading worship is the same whether you're in the U.S., Australia, Africa, wherever you're going to be, you know, it really is the same. It's learning how to connect people to this God that we've come in contact with. And obviously there's different ways to do it, and depending on where you travel. You know, you go to the country that doesn't speak English, you're like, okay, how do I leave worship here? You know, and really, like, relying on the Holy Spirit is how you do that. But I would say the main thing, and I don't know if I speak for Jen when I say this, I'm pretty sure, is people are just hungry for the Lord. They're hungry for what they've heard about. They're hungry for God. And, you know, we believe God is in a good mood, and people are good. You know, a lot of people are like, generally, people as a whole are great, are good people. You know, they are desperate for the Lord and have a heart for God, and that's encouraging.
It's great that you can learn as you offer so much yourselves. Brian, you're touring Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane from the 21st to the 25th of September this coming week. We'll put the details of your tour up on our Open House community Facebook page. Brian and Jen Johnson, thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.